I'm going to give you links that you can read, which I know he doesn't read, but who gives a fuck?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking about Stranger Things, the Netflix original series that takes place in the 1980s. It's horror and, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about it.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Hello, I'm also not, I'm not, well, I'm high. I don't know.
Whatever. Sure. His eyes are redder than the devil's dick.
It seems all right. Unlikely. Anyway.
It does, although your behavior is starting to make me question. This week we're going to talk about Stranger Things.
Yes!
Stranger Things!
God, it's so good!
It's a Netflix original horror, kind of nostalgic horror, I guess, series. It's like 8 episodes long. And we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
Yeah, genuinely, you really go watch it. Don't let us spoil it, please. It's so worth watching.
It's one of those things that you really need to experience, and I think the less you know about it going in, the better. Not to the degree of like Cabin in the Woods, but, you know.
But still, you know, it's a really, it unfolds extremely well.
It does.
And it's nice to be able to watch it unfold and not know what's coming next. So, yeah, if you haven't seen this series yet and you want to watch it, get the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to spoil the shit out of it. You don't want that. You know what? We're friends.
Yes.
We are friends with our listeners, and we want to stay friends.
That's right. So it's written and directed by Matt and Ross Duffer, the Duffer Brothers.
Great name. I love that.
Yeah.
We always were like,
every single
Duffer
episode.
Brothers.
Duffer Brothers.
It's about a boy who disappears and a girl who appears and the circumstances surrounding both those things and how they're connected.
So that's the most non-spoilers thing we're going to say. So if you've listened this far, just...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's as non-spoilers as we can get.
The kid who disappears is sucked into some extra-dimensional other place.
Yeah, he's taken by a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, a monster comes through and takes him and pulls him through.
And then this girl that is found is this telekinetic kind of fire starter child...
Kind of Jean Grey,
I would say honestly, the comparison to Charlie in Firestarter is very apt because she has both telekinesis and it's something that she kind of fears, like her behavior reminds me a lot
she
of Charlie.
She gets the stress nosebleed when she gets, uses
and the fact that she loves to use it, you can tell that she gets these little like. Half little smiles when she uses her power, but you can also tell that she's kind of afraid of it.
Amazing actress. Amazing child actress.
God, I can't wait to see her do more stuff.
I said after a few episodes in, I'm like, holy shit, it's like 8 different Stephen King books put together. It's Stand By Me. It's It. It's The Mist. Mm-hmm. It's Firestarter.
It's got elements of...
It's also got Spielberg, 80s Spielberg.
Yeah, it's like E.T., Goonies.
Poltergeist.
Like 8mm.
Goonies.
It's totally got like The Thing in it, too. It's got some John Carpenter influences.
The hell, it's got a scene from The Thing.
Right. So, and the poster in the background, too.
I'm so happy. Netflix has finally announced they are 100% putting out the soundtrack as well as the score.
Oh, cool.
Which is amazing. I just found out the score is done by an Austin-based... synth band that I cannot remember their name, but it's like one word, and that's got that really cool creepy.
It's
it almost sounds like
it's literally
Vangelis.
The only time I will accept a synth track on anything.
Blade Runner, Vangelis, Blade Runner, Tim. Come on,
it's anything. It immediately transports you to like an 80s genre film.
Yep,
and that's totally what this Netflix series is. It's a web series that is an 80s genre film.
Yeah, my coworker said anytime there's kids on bikes doing shit in the woods, I'm on board.
And he's
like applied to Paper Girls, the comic, applied to this. Like he was like applying it to a bunch of stuff.
There are a lot of kids on bikes doing shit in the woods. So that's...
Oh, well, Paper Girls is actually a really good comparison to this series. Yeah,
if you liked this show, read Paper Girls.
It's Brian K. Vaughan, the guy who wrote Saga and Why the Last Man.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's new, too, so there's only a few issues to get
through.
The
first trade is out, and then a couple issues since. So, the titles of the... We'll just kind of
go... The font?
Yeah, the title screens are like 80s horror book.
The way it came in through the letters and like everything came... That was very, very creep show.
The first scene is kids playing Dungeons and Dragons. It's just like... It's so...
And then the one that... when they come up and she's like... And it's like they basically say that they've been playing for 10 hours, and the adult is like, 10 hours, and everyone, like both of us, are like, yeah, because that's just board games, RPGs, video games.
We haven't been playing for that long.
Yeah, we haven't been playing for that long. You've been playing for 10 hours, and it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. We've had two meals,
At birthday dinner, just like a few days after it came out, Molly had just finished it. My mom's talking about how she and my stepdad are watching, and I'm like, okay, so now transport yourself back to the early 90s when I was a 13-year-old playing Dungeons & Dragons in the tent outside with my friends for 10 hours, and think about how, like, you are so that same parent who's like, oh my God, 10 hours, what are you doing?
Okay, I brought snacks, eat.
I identified with those kids quite a bit, like that. That felt
It was a nice, tight little... I mean, the central core of these kids whose friend has disappeared and how their friendship is kind of fractured a little bit because there's a piece missing.
Yeah. The Dustin, the kid who... And I looked it up. The kid who has cladiocranial dysplasia, which they wrote into the show because the actor has... clinocranial dysplasia.
Awesome.
So he actually has that, which is the condition that causes your baby teeth to stay in for a really long time. Mm. And you keep all your baby teeth until you're like 12 or 13, and then they start to fall out. So it's and sometimes you can have your baby teeth until you're an adult almost. Wow. It just takes a long time.
That kid was awesome.
Yeah, it's also why he can do that shoulder trick that he does. It's all about bones and stuff, but anyway, I loved when he was like, he was saying to both the two other friends in the threesome, and he was
who had a big fight.
Yeah, and he was like, "You're both my best friends, and you're both being idiots." Like,
so Lucas and Dustin.
Yeah,
Lucas and Mike.
Lucas and Mike.
Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah. Lucas, Mike, Will, and Dustin. That's right. And he's like, it's like he can see both sides, of this stupid fight. And I also very much like that they had rules in their friendship, which was, you started the fight, therefore you have to be the one to offer your hand.
Yeah.
And you have to
first
be the one.
Blood.
You drew first blood, so you have to be the one to offer the shake, and just these rules that fit with a group of kids that play a very rules lawyery based game where it matters. And we see right away that it matters to them. Following the rules matters to them because Will, right before after they play, and he rolls and his die falls and
the Demogorgon.
With the Demogorgon. And is it Lucas who's the leader? No,
is the DM.
Mike. When Mike doesn't see it, they're like, Mike didn't see the die, so you can just tell him that you hit him and killed it.
Or re-roll it.
And on his way out, Will's like, I didn't get it. Like, he got me.
I
rolled a seven.
I think
the Demogorgon got me.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's like, you can tell these kids, the rules matter to them. And like, it's because that's how they keep it. That's how they keep themselves honest. And that's a thread through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And so there's these kids. One kid disappears like right at the beginning of
the first episode.
Will.
Yep.
Pre-credits, I think he disappears, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yep, yep.
And I mean, the rest of the show is about what happened to this kid, but it gets a lot more
they,
weird.
They find his body, which is actually a rubber dummy stuffed with cotton.
Yeah, and you're just like...
There's the sheriff who is like, lost his daughter died, and therefore that broke up his marriage, and then he's turned to drinking as his coping.
He started as a character I really didn't like, and by the end of the series, he was one of my favorite characters in the show.
I was talking to Pat about this series, and I'm like, the sheriff character is one of my, if not my favorite, just because he's damaged, he's absolutely imperfect,
mm-hmm.
but when he starts to get a feeling that something's wrong... he just is all in on solving it.
Yep.
And he'll do
all dangerous... the times he punched someone and just in the fucking
there's,
face.
Yeah. There's like four times in the show where he like Indiana Joneses himself out of a situation where it's like, I'm gonna, or Han Solo's might be market.
Yeah.
I'm here to fix the, fuck it punch. Like, it happens like a few times where he seriously tries to finesse or lie his way out of or into a situation and
but I mean the great thing about him someone. Is you've got like the mom who's hysterical as fuck.
Winona Ryder.
She's hysterical as fuck and the sheriff is like, and she's telling the sheriff some crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd think that he'd just be like, ah, she's crazy. But then he's like, you know what? I don't feel good about this.
Yep.
And he goes in and checks the kid's body.
Well, you're probably going to say the same thing. One of the things that Molly and I both really loved about the show is that there's this thing that happens in television sometimes where they artificially lengthen or add drama or inject drama into a show by having two characters that each know half of a situation be in the same room and talk around it and then leave and not...
Because for whatever reason, like, oh, she'll never believe me. I won't even bother trying. Or, like, I'm embarrassed that I know this thing. And so that's, like, their way of injecting tension.
Yeah.
But whenever there's people who know two halves of a story or two interconnected theories or parts of the mystery, whenever they're together, they talk about it and they figure it out. And there's none of this, like, dilly-dallying around. It's like...
Yeah, there's none of this bullshit.
I saw something, but I don't really want to... Do it look like a person without a face?
Yeah.
What?
The only people that are keeping secrets are the boys because they're trying to hide 11.
That's the secret that they know. They try to talking about being like, okay, you're going to go out here, you're going to ring the doorbell, you know, my mom will be like, oh no, and take you in or whatever.
But that girl knows what happened to Benny, the diner guy.
Right, and they kind of try that a little bit, like they're about to, and they realize they can't. And so it's like even they're trying to do the thing where they don't keep secrets.
Seriously, when they killed Benny the diner guy, I was like,
holy shit.
You're thinking that this guy is kind of a major character.
Yeah.
He's going to be important.
And he's awesome.
And then they just kill him.
They really flush him out like a whole bunch before they kill him.
And you're like, what the... What just happened?
That is
so not fair.
I absolutely love that... So this show does such a good job of showing versus telling. Mm-hmm. And just doing the things rather than having a bunch of characters give a long exposition about the things. A big example of that is we know that Winona Ryder's character and the sheriff had a previous relationship.
Not necessarily romantic.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Could have been romantic, could have not been. High school sweethearts, just best friends, something that they... Alcoholics Anonymous, who the fuck knows? But all we know is that they have that, they know each other, and other people know that they had that relationship because they say things like, well, you know, the sheriff and your mom or whatever, like, oh, you know about her and the way she is with him.
Well, she calls him Hopper like a nickname, not like Chief Hopper. Yep. Like,
and
she's
and she
casual
says,
with
she
him.
She says things to him like, look, please, please, I know, look at me, I know what I'm saying. And it's...
I know I'm crazy, but that doesn't mean it's not happening.
Exactly. I know this sounds crazy. Yeah.
She's clearly got a mental illness history that is...
Or something,
That is intimated but never really fleshed out.
Or maybe she was just, like, PTSD from her shitty abusive husband, who is, like, clearly the worst. And But, like, everyone gets a little bit redeemed.
Well, there's the preppy boyfriend that the one girl has. And... What I liked about that is it's this typical arc of, you know, the smart girls going out with the popular kid, and then there's the not so popular kid that kind of maybe has a crush on her and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what you expect is that the popular kid is an asshole.
Which he kind of is.
He kind of is.
And he's got really asshole friends.
And he's got real asshole friends. But the trick is, he realizes he's being an asshole.
Yeah.
He realizes
his friends push it too far.
And it occurs to him that he's the guy that's being the dick.
Yeah.
You know, and that's refreshing.
I feel like how you know he's redeemed, how you know he's better and everything is good, is at the very end, you know, he bullies the older brother. The
they beat the shit out of each
Jonathan,
other.
Jonathan, right?
Yeah.
Jonathan.
Well, yeah, the weirdo on Maple Street.
Jonathan beats the shit out of him.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah,
and but, he deserves it, but, because he's like, you deserve having your brother disappear.
But
like,
he shatters...
Oh, fuck you, motherfucker.
He shatters this kid's world. He shatters his camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's a shutterbug. And at the end of the show, when it's like, he's ingratiated himself into the family, he's there for Christmas, he's wearing a Christmas sweater.
The boyfriend. Yep.
He gives... the older sister, his girlfriend, a new camera to give to the kid, the older
or
brother.
Or they
kid.
Give it to him together, but she gives it to him right. as a present.
But he doesn't need him to know that it came from him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. It's not yep. about him.
Yep.
It's about doing the right thing and not about him getting yeah. credit
and
for it.
And he just says, "Did you give it to him?" He's like, "Yeah." It's like,
"Do you like
cool.
it?"
Yep.
Cool. Yep.
Cool. Yep. It's
such a character growth moment
yeah.
for
yeah.
me. For him.
Even you know, I would even say so. The old like the kid's bully. Gets comeuppance, but doesn't really grow as a character.
He does not.
We can assume that maybe he will. That maybe
because
years down the line, getting his arm broken and being forced to piss his pants in front of everybody will make him, you know, make him consider some things. The assholes, the freckle-faced boy and his shitty, shrill girlfriend that are in that group of four teenagers, they don't have any growth.
Yeah, they don't have any growth.
But... you know, everybody else does, really. And it that is so refreshing in a show where, you know, even the people who are, you know, seen at, like, I think Barb is the name of the daughter.
The name of the girl who disappears.
Nancy.
Yeah, yeah.
The young
sister.
We yeah. can be looking at all this online, but we don't like
yeah,
to do
no.
that. That's not
Nancy,
our thing.
Mike's sister, is yeah. like, is just so, she goes from being like, I'm pretty, and I like to be popular, and I like doing pretty girl things, to being like, oh, okay, baseball bat,
bear
like,
trap.
Thing of weapons.
We're gonna beat the fuck out of this
yeah,
monster.
Like, because at first you can tell her, you know, Barb is her friend, yeah, her friend who's just like, I'm always on the periphery, I'm the tall, you know, not stereotypically feminine friend who's gonna come along as your, well, let's have Barb come too, you know, thing, but, you know.
Well, she even says, like, if you go off and be popular, you better not leave me behind, so
yep.
she's trying to include her friend.
Yep, and that's totally cool, but, like, there's, when she disappears, it would be so easy for them to have painted Nancy as simpering or too afraid to do anything, but instead of getting too afraid to do anything, she's like, no, fuck that. Where's my friend?
Yeah,
like,
the great thing about this show is every character in this show is doing shit. They're
yeah.
thinking. They're trying
yeah.
to figure shit out. It's like the mom,
Winona Ryder, yeah.
She like figures out that her son is trying to communicate with her. And
yes.
so she makes a decision on how to help that communication happen.
Her name's Joyce. I just
Joyce.
Remembered.
And actually what I liked even more than that is the moment when she goes in to her boss. And she asks him
for an advance.
And the boss is kind of like, I don't know. And she's like, look, I've been your best employee for 10 years.
Yep.
You know, my
yep.
son is missing. Give me 2 weeks pay, you fucking douchebag.
I like that then later she comes in and she's just like, oh, fuck you. Like, just fucking ring it up. Like,
Christmas
with all this shit. Like, yeah, the Christmas lights thing was great. The all the effects were so creepy.
Oh,
it's such
man,
a creepy idea that, like, you're the upside down, that it's like, that
yeah.
you're right
the
there.
The flea and the acrobat.
Yes. And just that you're right there. And the part where he's like the wall is almost see-through.
Yeah.
And she can see him and hear him and just everything. And the way that they told Eleven's story through flashback. And every time someone had a flashback, you could tell it was a flashback right away because they had put a very significant marker. Eleven in a hospital gown.
Yep.
Or the sheriff, his daughter alive.
Right.
Or there was always something very pointed that, you know, that you saw Nancy and her brother together, you know, so that you were like, oh, never was I confused. Like, what time is this? Is this the past? Where are we? It
yeah,
was really.
Yeah, the story's told very well. You never lose track of what's going on.
Yeah.
There, you never lose track of which character is which.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
And like I said, every character is doing things. They may make bad choices, but they're all smart.
Yeah.
They're all thinking about,
yep.
about, they're all problem solving to the best of their ability.
Yeah.
You know, I love when the kids are out trying to decide how to go after this monster, and Jonathan's like practicing with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it, Nancy?
Nancy.
So Nancy shows up and he gives her the gun. She hits a can on the first shot. So it's like, all right, you're shooting the gun.
Yep.
That's that is the that conversation is over.
It's exactly.
It's not like Jonathan being all testosterone. I gotta shoot the gun because
I'm there's never any like, how did a girl learn how to shoot a gun or anything about that?
Yeah.
Just like how they never talk about really how Lucas is black. It's not, there's never any jokes about it. There's never any, like, I don't know about you hanging out with that Lucas or anything
it's
like that.
It's not even relevant to the story.
Not relevant. And,
I liked a minor character that I really liked that I thought wasn't too much of a MacGuffin, though some might argue otherwise, is the science teacher.
Oh, I love the science teacher.
He's the one that, like... Like the Dustin kid calling him up.
With his awesome hot girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't worry. Are you scared? Like, armor.
Trying to watch a horror movie.
Oh, it was great.
Trying to watch.
Kids.
Trying to watch The Thing.
Yeah, watching
The Thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Dustin calling him late at night, like 10 o'clock at night. Like, didn't you tell me to always stay curious and to seek answers and to seek the truth? Why are you discouraging me from your own advice right now? Like,
God damn it. All right.
Fine.
But, and how he lets them into the AV room when he knows he's not supposed to.
The ham radio.
Yeah.
He's a cool character.
And he fills a lot of the gaps. It's like, how do these kids get an understanding of like a many worlds theory of interdimensionality? They're nerdy science teacher who likes science fiction
and it's
stuff.
Believable because of course like people are like a teacher wouldn't be giving special permission to kids. A nerdy teacher who grew up an outcast would absolutely be seeing himself in these four nerdy boys and want to be that role model. It's just like how whenever I see it's how I feel about Jeffrey's daughter Zeta.
Yeah.
Like whenever I see like an awkward like kind of isolated self preferring to be isolated kid, I'm always like I want to help this kid because I understand I totally get that.
They use a lot of darkness in the show.
Yeah, we keep having to turn all the lights off.
There's some, especially when they're
in the upside down.
It's hard to see what the fuck's going on.
That one, even in the right side up, even in our world. There'll be scenes where someone's in an interrogation room or something, or in holding, and what you'd normally expect to be a fairly well-lit area, half the screen will be black, and only the characters and, like, their intermediate area will be lit. And even in, like, some of the more clinical or, like, sterile environments, like in the laboratory where the hole is, where L11 has been tested upon, like, even in there... In the not corrupted upside down parts, it's still like a dark, ominous laboratory. Like the directing, I thought was so great for how much they used it, even though it meant we couldn't have a light on in the house.
Oh, another thing. Okay, so another showing, not telling. The family, Mike's family, with his mom and his dad, who are clearly unhappy and staying together for the kids.
Marriage can be.
And they have this like. 2 or 3 year old daughter Holly, who is so obviously the baby they had to save their marriage because they've got a 12 year old and like a 15 year old, and now they have this like 2 or 3 year old baby. So it's like this thing that you don't even ever have to say, but you just see it. It's like, why would you have a kid? Why would you try to have another baby 10 years after, your last one? Because you're like, maybe a baby will do it, right? Like, let's have this, like, that'll bring us back together, and it doesn't work. But then she's always there at the dinner table, and she's, and she's watching, and she's looking, and she gets, like, upset, and, like, you can see her, like, sensing the tension in the room and starting to kind of get upset, and everyone being like, okay, and having been a teenager with a 2 or 3 year old in the room, like constant presence. I really felt with that, and that was great. Like just
she was good in the scene in Will and Jonathan and Joyce's house.
Yeah,
where the thing is starting to come through the wall, and she like sees it reach out.
Yeah,
and then like. She gets called back in time. But
actually just read. I'm looking at this list that's like 10 things you probably didn't know. She was played by twins, of course. But they told her that it was that the monster was Sully, from Monsters Inc.
Oh.
And so they didn't have to be afraid. They didn't have to be afraid. They just had to pretend to be afraid because it was a movie, and so that when they said that they would feel a little bit better about it. But other than being a little scared, everyone was saying that they were like, their names are Aniston and Tinsley.
That's unfortunate.
Whoa. Whoa. Wow, those are some white names. Holy those shit. Are some white girl names.
That's some stage parent names. Stage parent names.
The yeah. Duffers, yeah.
Tinsley?
The first,
really?
Yep. The first improvised moment was in episode one when Holly sinks into her chair after being upset by Dustin. That was improvised. They didn't tell her to do that. The little girl just sunk down on her own. And then again, when Joyce is like, did you see something in the wall? Did you see something in the wall? And she's like, yes, that was improvised.
Huh.
And the Duffers even say they don't know which twin was in which scene because they filmed it a lot. And so they're not sure which one was the one in the one that they took. But like, they're like, they're both great.
That's funny. Jim, did you have a favorite moment or favorite character?
Well, the sheriff was my favorite character. I really appreciated how complicated he was and how he had such good instincts throughout. You know, he was all, it was like, you look at this dude who's like broken because his daughter's dead. Mm. He's clearly drinking and
he had to watch her die in a long...
He had a drug problem too.
But that long-term, that's the thing. Like watching her die long-term, I think is so much harder than like accident. You know,
but you look at him and you wonder, it's like, why is he the chief of police? And then you see why he's the chief of police.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. So
you're three. Oh, my mom had this cool theory. She's like, the chief and the two deputies mirror Mike, Lucas, and Dustin.
Oh, yeah.
Mike is the chief, and then there's the two buddies. One of them's more comic relief, one of them's more angry.
Yeah.
And, like they're both trying to, like, the...
They've probably been friends, or they've known each other since they were kids, because no one gets out of this town.
They kind of fit the same template. It's kind of a neat little thing I had not noticed.
That's not bad.
What about you, Molly?
11. 100% my favorite character was 11. That actress, a long time ago I said this about Dakota Fanning, and I said, I feel, it's a creepy thing I feel to say, but I don't mean it in a creepy way. I cannot wait to watch this little girl grow up, and I can't wait to see what else she does, because she's so electrifying. I cannot take my eyes off her. Like, just every inch, she acts with every inch of her body.
Mm-hmm.
Like every single bit of her was emoting or whatever, even when she was, to be a flat affect character and still give off emotion means you have to do it in micro expressions. And so like a slight tightening of her eyes or just a bristling tremble. Of her shoulders or a tremble or just a sharp turn of her. I mean, just these little things were so great. And even though I loved that, even though that 11 doesn't speak a lot of words, you can tell she understands everything. She's super smart.
It's less clear in the beginning. At first, you're like, does she even speak words?
Or what is she? Is she an alien? Like, what's going on? But I thought she was really great. And I just have to... One other thing I noticed in this list. So they wanted her to... They decided for her short hair to look realistic. They needed to shave her head.
Yeah.
And the actress... who's British, by the way. The actress they were like, we need to shave your head. And she was kind of scared to do it. And then they showed her Fury Road.
Oh.
And she was like, all right. Like, she was all about it. So I think that's pretty great.
I think she was my favorite part as well.
Loved Dustin, though.
If I could break the rules and pick, like, more than one, I'd say, like, the Three Musketeers kids. You know, minus Will, because he's... upside down, but like those three kids together and their friendship, like, made me reminiscent for my childhood in a very specific way. But 11 was an amazing actor.
You talked a lot about how much you liked Dustin specifically because he used humor to diffuse situations a lot. And he was, I mean, for his like not having teeth, he was kind of the Mac. Like, he was the one with the sister who was like, hey, what's going on? What are you doing later? Like, you want to see a movie? Kind of like, hey, your sister's really hot. Like, hey, he reminds me of stories I've heard of you at that age.
One last thing before we go to five questions. They set it up for a sequel.
Yes.
A little.
They give indication that 11 is still alive. Will coughs up a slug and has a flash over to the upside down, whether or not that's real or perceived.
Or PTSD.
I think it's real, obviously, because he coughed up a slug thing.
I think it's real because his breath turned frosted.
Do you guys want it to be a direct sequel or them to do something else?
I'd like it to be a direct sequel. I was honestly a little disappointed that there was that thing of, you know, Will still having the connection to the Upside Down, just because I knew that was what was going to happen.
Sure.
And it was like, I would have liked to see it go in a different direction than have it link back to Will. Maybe it's just because that kid's already been through enough. The sheriff, he's clearly working with whoever's left alive at the...
With Eleven.
At the facility, he's also well aware that Eleven's alive, so he knows a lot of shit that nobody else knows. Matthew Modine's character, we never saw him die.
Yeah, we did.
No, we saw the creature go at him. We did not see him die.
Fair enough. I think he's dead.
You know, when they don't show you a character like that dead, I'm pretty sure he didn't die.
I don't know.
I disagree.
It lunged at him, mouth open, like right at his face.
I feel like they showed with Barb and stuff that it's pretty rare to survive with the creature.
I don't disagree. All I'm
saying. Fair enough.
Every character that looked like they were dead was only dead if we saw them dead.
How about this?
With the exception of Barb.
We saw Barb's body.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's alive, but I think he's dead. I'll give you that.
But.
I want it to be a direct sequel, and I'm in luck because it is. It's been confirmed.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was looking it up today, and they said they had... Well, I mean, the writers have confirmed that that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it hasn't officially been greenlit yet.
Okay, well, the writers have confirmed that's what they want to do. So
Netflix already said it was happening. I didn't know that it was a direct sequel.
I'll see if I can find the actual link.
I was looking it up today, and it said that Netflix hadn't confirmed
I think that would be the best, because the things I really want to see... It's not just that Will still has this connection. He's hiding it.
Yeah,
and that's a problem.
That's interesting, because that means he will be the only character who is hiding information when everybody else has been so open with everybody, and that could make some interesting tension.
He's extra-dimensionally tainted and possibly infested.
Similar to an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when Simmons comes back, and she is fucked up from being on that alien planet.
Sure.
Like, I think it could be really interesting to see, like, how that plays out with how he interacts now with these three boys. Like, it seems like everything's okay, but it's only been a few weeks, right? Because it's Christmas, and this was happening in just before Thanksgiving.
Right.
So it hasn't been very long. And so they're about to be 13, which is the time when friendships start to have that kind of push and pull. And then I would love to see more Eleven. I think that as she matures, her powers are probably going to change as well. And because that was something they were worried about with Charlie and Firestarter. What do we do with a daughter who can light fires when she's mad when she goes through puberty?
The monster gets taken care of, but there's still a rip to the Upside Down in the facility.
And we saw what looked like an egg.
Yeah.
There's a scene where there's something that looks a lot like an egg.
Yeah.
There's something that it was doing with its ovipositor going down
Throat. And there's a slug or something here that might gestate into something nasty, for all we know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
For all we know, that's the only slug that was in Will, but
so
it's now in the regular world.
So executive producers told us season 2 will follow the same characters and introduce critical new ones. Season 1 ended with, as one of the producers said, questions that merit future stories and future investigation, especially regarding one key character's surprising change in motivation. Ross Duffer said there's plenty about this world that they've yet to show viewers. And this is a quote. There's a lot we don't know or understand. Even with the Upside Down, we have a 30-page document that is pretty intricate in terms of what it all means, where this monster came from, and why there aren't more. We have all this stuff we didn't have time for or that we didn't feel like we needed to get into in season 1 because of the main tension of Will. We have that whole other world we haven't fully explored, and that was very purposeful. We leave these dangling threads. If people respond to the show, we had initial things of where we'd go with it. If there's a season 2, we're going to reveal more of the 30-page document. We'll still keep it from the point of view of our original characters.
Awesome.
Yeah. Stranger Things is more of a sequel than a second season. Season 2, it says.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited by that.
I am, too.
It was a really solid show. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I say this a lot, but I'm just going to say, we are, as geeks, really lucky that there is so much of this kind of material coming out.
Golden age, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Golden age.
When you consider that, you know, this is on Netflix. You got Netflix, you can fucking watch it. You can,
not only is it on Netflix, everyone I know is watching it.
Yeah. You can. Yeah. And it's, you know, with Netflix and Hulu coming out with original series, you know, with the main networks having to keep up with the good stuff that's coming out on, you know, from HBO.
Raise the bar.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
And then film, which when we get to Geeky Boners, I'm going to talk about some of that shit.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, I just got to say, we are super lucky that this kind of stuff is just everywhere.
I want to watch. I honestly want to watch it again. I probably will.
If you listened and you haven't watched it yet,
you spoiled the show.
Shame on you.
Sorry, but seriously, that was a dumb move.
I think you will still enjoy it.
Yeah, you totally still enjoy it. We actually didn't talk a lot about what happens in the movie, except in kind of general terms.
Yeah, we gave away the whole ending. I don't know. But I'm disappointed in you if you listened and you haven't seen it.
But if you have seen it, we'd love to hear what you loved about it or what you thought. Feel free to leave a comment on Facebook or on our website, geeksoutgod.com.
Yep.
Or on the Patreon page if you are there. Otherwise, let's go to five questions.
We have five answers from Javier from Cincinnati.
Hi, Javier.
He says, hi there. Last time I answered five questions, you read them during the euthanasia episode. Maybe we can read these during an episode on SIDS or something similarly cheery.
Well, we did talk about a kid who was kidnapped and trapped.
I mean, it's better.
Yeah.
I won't cry I didn't cry at all this time. I mean, I just want to point out.
It's fake. It's fiction.
I didn't cry a single time during this episode, whereas the euthanasia episode, that is not the case.
Yeah. Tim, question one.
Question number one. What is a movie you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
I would have to split my vote between Army of Darkness and Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah.
The cheesy lines make these movies a constant source of guilty entertainment.
Comedy horror camp.
I don't feel you need to feel guilty about it.
No.
Movies. You know, that's all I'm going to say, Javier. Just don't feel guilty about it. Just love them. Just love them. Enjoy them.
Question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
I recently started dabbling in electronics and found a wonderful device called the Useless Machine. This machine's sole purpose is to turn off its on switch every time you turn it on. That sounds pretty awesome.
I've seen it as like a starter project for like getting into Arduino or Raspberry Pi and stuff. It's some of them are just like a little mechanical lever that shoots out of the opening and turns its own off switch and then goes back. Some people do it super elaborate with like a human hand that comes out and turns it off. Like,
that's awesome.
They're neat.
That's pretty cool. All right, question number three. What supernatural or mythical being do you wish was real?
I think this has been said before, but I have to go with Doctor Who. Well, He's the only character with that much power who doesn't seem interested in abusing it. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. I can't think of any other mythological or god or anything like that that doesn't want to abuse its power to some degree.
In some way, yeah.
The doctor just wants to, you know, fix things that are bad.
Or even just see things. He just wants to see things, then he happens to find things that are bad.
He just keeps finding things that are bad.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's because in all other languages, doctor means, what is it? Like
Soldier
or war. Bringer or something like that.
He's badass. All right.
Question number four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
SIDS.
Tribalism.
Yeah.
The fear of the other that drives humanity's reckless disregard for its own survival. If we could stop seeing humans as members of the other and therefore disposable, we might finally advance as a species.
I'm just going to say that you missed the opportunity to say SIDS right there.
Yeah.
And that would have been funnier.
SIDS is funnier.
SIDS is hilarious.
You heard it here. Tim's idea of comedy is SIDS.
It's funny because babies get it.
Okay. Oh.
And they deserve it.
Question number five.
It only happens to bad babies.
Jesus.
Question number five.
Think of all the Hitler SIDS is prevented.
Question number five. What's your favorite quote?
I am His Highness's dog at Q. Pray tell me, sir, whose dog are you? Alexander Pope. I've always considered this a great reminder that we all serve someone. Make sure you serve someone worth serving. Thanks for the great show.
You're welcome. Hey,
thanks, Javier.
Thanks for your answers. If you want to send in your five answers, send them to fiveanswers@geekswithoutgod.com.
Five questions at geekswithoutgod.com.
Is it five questions?
It is. It's five questions.
Oh, it's five questions. I'm on cold medicine.
Yeah.
That'll be my scapegoat. So send them to fiveQuestions@geekswithoutgod.com. Now I'm going to have to make an alias for five answers just to go to the same place. Some smartass is going to do it.
Yeah, they will.
smartasses, you can support us on Patreon to listen to all these episodes early at just $2 a month, which is pretty slick because usually we record a couple at a time and you'll get them weeks in advance. Otherwise, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and find us at geekswithoutgod.com, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Next season on Stranger Things, we go left side right.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
P.S. We talk about SIDS.
Yeah.